So happy to be checking back in today with the folks from Quincy Community Action Programs for a little update on how things have been going, what is going to be coming up, and how they are faring during this more improving time. So we welcome once again a CEO, Beth Ann Strollo, and for the first time, but hopefully not the last, Anna DiBiase is here, and Anna is the Director of Marketing and Development for QCAP. So ladies, welcome to both of you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Joe. Great to be here. Thank you for having us back.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's great to get a little update, find out how QCAP has been faring. I know Beth Ann have gone without missing a beat throughout this whole time and still continuing to serve the community, right?
Exactly. We've been, our offices have been providing services all along, and our food center has been open in-person services since throughout the entire pandemic. And our Head Start program over at 22 Prey Street, the former St. Joseph's School, they have reopened for in-person classroom services last July, about a year ago, almost a year ago, in addition to doing Zoom programming and education for those families who did not want to send their children into the building. We are continuing. We're open all summer. That's a full year, full day, early education and care program that serves a couple different models, but one is full day for working families who need to have their children in a program while they go to work.
What's the status now of your Hancock Street Quincy Center office? Is that open to the public yet?
It's not open to the public fully yet, but we are seeing people by appointment. So all of our services that are provided at our Hancock Street location, which is housing, fuel assistance, child community care for kids, child care vouchers, and adult education and workforce development initiatives. The staff are in the building. They've been in the building since the beginning. And now we are seeing clients by appointment. So we'll come down and let folks in. And we're working on a plan to figure out the best way to open the doors completely. But all services are still being provided, and we encourage everyone to continue calling us and working with our staff to figure out the best way to serve them. We do have an open door. We have two entrances on Hancock Street. One is next part of the comic book store that is on Hancock Street, and we do have a drop box for clients to deliver any information that they need to drop off. So that's open all day, and any clients can walk in anytime and drop their materials in that secure drop box, which has worked pretty well all year. So we've installed that quite a while ago.
Good to know. Have you seen the types of services folks are needing change as the pandemic has changed?
Yes, and you know, not really for the better, as you can imagine. We actually, despite the pandemic, conducted strategic planning this year as part of our federal mandate as a community action agency. And we're coming to the end of that process that our board and staff and the community was engaged in. And one of the things, we're seeing a couple things. One, that need for affordable housing has just been exacerbated by this crisis, as you can imagine, with so many people out of work for so long. Many people have built up significant rental arrearages or mortgage arrearages. We are helping people with that, along with a number of other housing agencies who serve Quincy and the greater Quincy area, really who serve the whole state. And the other area has been food, of course. Everyone has seen that on very publicly on in the media, the need for food. Again, connected just like housing, it's people who have been out of work, very limited income, and have to meet their basic needs. So we continue to see a steady demand for food. And the other area that has surfaced, again, not a surprise, is the need for health and mental health and addressing the addiction crisis, the opioid addiction crisis that now is really, it was bad before, and now it's really, it's always tragic, but it's really tragic right now. And again, something you're seeing in the media quite a bit, and we see it too. But we're very concerned about the mental health issues. We don't provide mental health services directly. We connect our clients to a number of providers, and we're working. We are part of a behavioral health collaborative that Bay State Community Services and Aspire and Manatt Health Center and a number of other agencies in the community are involved in. And that is to make sure that those individuals who need behavioral health services are also connecting to the services that we provide, like fuel assistance, food, housing assistance. Particularly, we're working more intensively on making sure they get housing assistance. One of the worst things for someone who is struggling with behavioral health issues is to find themselves in a situation of housing instability, potentially homelessness, which can be terrifying to anybody, and a very serious crisis that can set you back for a long time once you become homeless. So we're working collaboratively with the other organizations in the city to address those needs, and we're very concerned about it moving forward. We're very concerned about the impact on children. Yeah. We're seeing that in our Head Start program. We were really pleased to open as soon as we could last summer when the governor allowed early childhood programs to open. We did that as quickly as we could because we knew how critical it was that children were, again, having some socialization. You know, I think irony here is it's not just 3 and 4 and 5 year olds who need it. We see it from birth to, well, frankly, death. I mean, we see it through the entire age spectrum.
Yeah.
But I think particularly for children, you know, into their 20s, even young adults, you really are, it's very concerning about the impact on their social emotional development and their mental health and their ability to continue to socialize normally, which now is very complicated as we come out of this and start to interact again. It's confusing for a lot of people.
Yeah, I've heard the mental health issue and the addiction issue being called the silent pandemic, you know, right now, because so many people have been suffering in silence. And I don't think we really know the full impact of what it will be on those types of issues for many years to come.
Right. Yeah.
Are you requiring COVID testing, Beth Ann, for your Head Start programs?
We don't do it unless there is an occurrence.
Okay.
And so we have been following for the past year all of the public health guidelines, the state guidelines, the federal guidelines. We've worked very closely with the Quincy Department of Public Health and very closely with Manatt Community Health, who has provided us with technical assistance through this to develop our protocols a long time ago. So if we have an exposure, then we have many times required anyone exposed to be quarantined, get tested. You know, we've gone through all those painful moments of
worry.
We've
become also used to, unfortunately, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But now we are very pleased to say that the vast majority, about 90% of our staff are vaccinated. So we're thrilled about that. And we can't say enough about the value of that in order for us to continue delivering our services effectively and to protect staff as because we are seeing people from the public, of course, like many, many businesses, and you don't know if someone's vaccinated or they're not. So,
right. Yeah.
So we can't say enough about that.
Yeah, that's super. That's great. Especially for folks who are working with the public, you know, day in and day out. So it's protecting everybody. Everybody's doing their part. We should bring Anna in at this point, Anna DiBiase, and talk a little bit about, first of all, Anna, tell me a little bit about yourself. You're relatively new to QCAP, right?
Yeah, that's right. I joined QCAP about mid-February, so it's been great getting to work locally because I live in Quincy. I moved here about a year and a half ago, and you know, at the time was taking the T into Boston, but that quickly ended. And you know, I think in a year, just perspectives have shifted, and I'm really excited to be working locally and be a part of QCAP. So. I've been in the fundraising sort of development and marketing world for about a decade in different organizations that are always serving vulnerable families and children. So Catholic Charities, RFK, Children's Action Corps. And then my dad is actually part of the Community Action Network. So he works at an agency in Connecticut. So I've known about Community Action a long time. And I think if there's ever a time to just be working locally, helping people just, you know, really survive, put food on their table and meet some basic needs, now is a better time than any. So I'm happy to be here.
Great. Well, welcome. Welcome to QCAP and welcome to Quincy and welcome to QATV as well. We're happy to have you and hopefully look forward to working with you in the future. What are some of the kind of the immediate programs that you'd like folks to know about?
Yeah, I mean, as Beth Ann touched upon, you know, food insecurity has been, you know, a big deal, and it's, you know, hitting national headlines throughout the pandemic, and it's no different here locally in Quincy and surrounding communities. So, I mean, it's also been amazing to see the response from, you know, local corporations and individuals and, you know, the city of Quincy and, you know, just groups that are reaching out to support in a year that the need is really high. But the need, you know, definitely continues there. And we're seeing a need for things like hygiene products and personal care items, things that SNAP funds don't necessarily cover. So there's what they're calling sort of a hygiene gap, you know, a hygiene items gap, because essentially you need to find another way to cover those costs. So things like diapers and wipes, but then also things just like shampoos and soaps and period supplies for young women. So here is our lovely food center staff team here who, they really are an incredible team. They've been serving the community this entire time. They're a group that has really struck me being new to QCAP as just, you know, a really compassionate, genuine group of people who have, you know, I really think they fall into that frontline heroes category from where I sit.
Food center over on Copeland Street in West Quincy says in person, right, Anna?
Yes, they're doing by appointment only for the most part. Is that right, Beth Ann?
Yes, but there, if walk-ups, we call it walk-ups versus walk-ins, just because we're serving people in the foyer, they're not coming all the way in. We have a fairly small center to begin with, but if someone is in an emergency and they do walk up, they will, you know, provide food as needed and then sign them up.
Okay, good. And are donations also accepted that same way?
Absolutely, yeah. Actually, donations are a great way to support the food center, because what we do is we purchase food from the Greater Boston Food Bank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for 10 cents on a dollar, we can just have a much bigger sort of purchasing power if we do a large order through the food bank. So your dollar really will go a long way versus you going to Stop and Shop or a grocery store, buying the items and donating them. So that can be a really great way to help the food center.
Yeah, would a gift card be a good donation also, Anna?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, as we've seen, you know, the cost of everything, but certainly food, medicines increasing exponentially over the past couple of months. It's probably going to continue, unfortunately, into the future. So I'm guessing you're going to see newer people that you might not have seen in the past.
Yes, that is something we've seen. You know, families reaching out for help for the first time. That can be really intimidating and overwhelming. So, you know, our staff has just done a really amazing job with making people feel, you know, welcome and comfortable and answering all their questions. And, but yeah, we're definitely seeing that trend, I would say.
Are there volunteer opportunities also? If you need more help, can folks volunteer?
I'll say that we're really trying to be careful about that still. Sure. Because we're still not completely out of the pandemic. We do have a fantastic group of core volunteers who are working with our food center staff.
Okay.
They're essential. We could not deliver that service without volunteers. Let me be really clear about that. And, but we have a group. In fact, at the very beginning, we we laid off a number of volunteers who were elderly or who had health conditions that we needed to make sure we kept them safe. So they're still kind of in the wings and would love to help again, but we're trying to be as careful as we can about that and as thoughtful as we can. But there is a core group. We have over probably 10 regular people who are coming every week and assisting, including we have a couple police officers from the Quincy Police Department who have volunteered for years, who are fabulous, along with a number of other people in the community. And we have a partnership that is sort of a volunteer partnership, if you will, a in-kind partnership with Bay State Community Services. Their van driver is working with us, has been since the beginning, to deliver food to COVID-impacted households and homebound households who were unable to, or it wasn't safe for them to be going to the grocery stores during the height of the pandemic. So we still have that in place. Weekly, we are making those deliveries. And again, that's a that's really kind, it's an in-kind partnership that we have with Bay State Community Services. We're really grateful to them for that.
That is a tremendous lifeline for those people, I am sure. So, you know, kudos to them. A lot of this work is being done, you know, without a lot of fanfare and a lot of accolades and attention. So good for them. It's nice to hear as well. Beth, can we get back to the Head Start program for a minute and how folks can learn more about it and enroll in it?
Yes, thanks, Joe. We are actively enrolling for the summer and the fall for Head Start. We will be moving back towards a full in-person service for Head Start in the fall and into the end of the fall, early winter. The Head Start program, many folks know, is a program that's been around since 1965. It's I might be biased, but I'm going to say it's the best early childhood program that there is in this country. It provides services to not just the children, but to the whole family. Particularly, we work with parents, helping them be the primary educator of their child and also learn to set some goals and move forward in their job training and work life as well. So we are looking right now for children for the fall. There's the information, call 249-2000 or go online. You can apply online. You'll follow the links to our Head Start page to apply online. But we are looking for children from birth to 5 years of age. We have a home-based program for birth up until 2.9 and then a toddler center-based classroom program and then a preschool program that leads to getting children ready to enter kindergarten. And we have a great kindergarten transition program where our staff work really closely with the public school staff to help parents make that transition, help the children make the transition from preschool into kindergarten in the fall. So that's a focus this summer. We're working with all of our children who are five or turning five who will be going to kindergarten in the fall. We are still providing some remote services, Zoom activities, but we're really working with families to get them ready to have their children come back into the classroom. And that's the goal. So there are slots open. It was a very completely unusual year for the early childhood world, the school, the education world in general at all levels. But we certainly experienced that in our Head Start program where we had a lot of, parents weren't ready to have their children getting services. They were either completely consumed with what was going on in their life that related to COVID and couldn't really focus on it or were concerned about their children being in classrooms. But we have very safe protocols in place. We have had, I think, a pretty successful year. Yes, there's always a little bit of COVID activity that happens, but I'm pleased to say that with the protocols that we had in place, it was a very successful year for us and for the children. And parents were thrilled that they could have their children coming to the center every day and being cared for. And we're continuing to keep, the state has lifted many of the restrictions mm-hmm. and requirements. We're assessing that carefully. We have not changed any of our protocols yet. We're going to be very careful and work with our parents. We have an active Head Start Policy Council made up of parents and work with them to hear what they think, what they want to see in a setting. And we'll be adapting in the next month or so. But we're actively enrolling, encouraging everyone who is interested to call.
Okay. And how is the cost for that handled, Beth Ann? How does that work?
It depends on which service option you have. Okay. If you are getting a child care voucher, if you're working and you have a child care voucher that you can get through our Community Care for Kids program, then you pay a fee based on your income. So it's okay. a sliding fee scale for part of that voucher. For our four-hour-a-day program that runs from September through the beginning of June, that is no cost. Okay. You have to be income eligible.
Right.
And you have to be very low income in terms of eligibility for that. But mm-hmm. That's the traditional Head Start model. That's okay. 4 hours a day.
Yeah. And is there a deadline to apply?
You know, we'll be accepting applications ongoing, but we encourage everyone to apply right now in June, July, August, so that they're ready to have their child come when we reopen. We're open all summer. If you right. have a child care voucher, you can come anytime. That's a rolling enrollment.
Okay.
But for the children who will do the 4 hour day, those classes end this week.
Yep.
And they will start up again in the middle of September.
And so hopefully by then, everything will be just yeah. completely back to normal, right?
That's what we hope. Yeah. yeah. Yep. Of course.
Anna, anything else you wanted to touch on? There's a number of programs. I know the energy program, the housing assistance program. You know, what's kind of in your belly wagon right now?
Yeah, well, like I said, really a lot of the focus is on the food center. There's also, you know, our adult education programs have sort of shifted virtually. And, you know, one of the things that we are seeing there is while we're probably reaching some new clientele there who sort of enjoy the virtual access and the ability to do that, there's really a group that essentially are being left behind who don't have access to sort of whether it's internet access or the ability to buy a laptop to get onto the internet. You know, and I think we're going to be hearing more and more about sort of that digital divide. And so I think it's something that at QCAP we've been just really trying to make sure that we're accessible to those people who aren't as comfortable using the virtual services. And then also, you know, looking at the new people that we have reached and how can we continue to serve them.
It's a great point. And I think, I know Beth Ann, you and I have talked about this before, about some of the positive things that have come out of the pandemic that will continue, you know, post-pandemic. And I think the virtual world certainly is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are positives and then there are negatives. But I think the one thing that we expect in the fall for our adult ed program is that we will probably do a combination of in-person mm-hmm. classes yeah. and continue to do some virtual classes. For our ESOL students, for those who are learning English, who are working, the virtual classes actually are desirable for them. It makes yeah. things easier. They're highly motivated and they really want to learn English. And so they're coming to class regularly. We are providing Chromebooks to students who don't have computers. So to make it as easy as possible for them to attend classes.
Yeah, the convenience factor cannot be overlooked. You know, it's, I mean, if you're working full time, you have family you're taking care of, the weather is bad, there's a traffic jam. I mean, there's a myriad of positives to it, certainly. So I think it's something that's going to stick around, not only in this format, but, you know, in other venues going forward for sure.
Right. And we do also have a COVID vaccine clinic coming up in partnership with Manit Community Health Center. It's been great. We've been doing pop-up clinics where they come and provide the vaccine. And so we've done a few at our Southwest Community Food Center here here's a picture of it. So our next one is going to be Wednesday, June 16th. This one, we're shifting it a little bit later in the afternoon to try to, you know, try to maybe catch people when they're getting out of work, make it a little bit more accessible. So 3:30 to 6 p.m. on June 16th.
Okay.
And walk-ins are welcome. It's completely free.
Is this the one shot, Anna, the Johnson & Johnson shot?
Yeah. So what's great is it's just you're one and done. We don't have to worry about scheduling you to come back. If for some reason you are interested in a Pfizer or Moderna vaccine and you're not interested in Johnson & Johnson, you can still come down and the Manet staff will help you make an appointment to just get that shot at a different location, but they'll help you figure that all out.
Okay. And we should clarify that's only for people 18 and older for that particular vaccine. Is that right?
Yes. Right. I believe at this time it's just 18 and over.
Yeah. I believe it's just the Pfizer shot right now. That's just for 12.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Very good. Manet, of course, has been another great, great community partner throughout this whole pandemic. Really. It's just amazing to see.
Absolutely. We can't say enough about them and the dedication. You know, I mentioned it earlier, how much guidance they provided to us at the beginning that was invaluable and helped us with all of our protocols. And when there were exposures, you know, they quickly tested everybody, made sure particularly for our essential services, the many essential services that like fuel assistance, our staff providing fuel assistance were in the middle of last March, still certifying people. It's cold in March, as you know, in Massachusetts. So we were in the middle of the season there and we were able to continue all that work with their help. So, just to, you know, we kind of think it's hot, really hot today, and fuel assistance is not a need, but we will have more cool days, and certainly we will in next winter. So we in the summer in our energy program do a lot of clean and tunes of people's heating systems, and we do a lot of weatherization work during and heating system repair work. So we encourage people to continue calling us in the summer. It will get them set up to apply for immediate clean and tunes and weatherization work, but also to be signed up for fuel assistance for next fall. And the earlier you are signed up for fuel assistance, the better. You'll start getting the benefit right away, November 1st, which is helpful.
Okay, and that's the kind of thing you could really use your Dropbox for, right?
Exactly.
To leave your correspondence, yeah.
Right. Very easy to do that. And we're working, we will soon have an online application tool very soon in fuel assistance. So people are applying for the next season, which begins really middle to end of July.
Yeah, well, we had the heat on Memorial Day weekend. It was so cold, so you just never
exactly. Know.
There's certainly more heating days than cooling days in New England, that's for sure.
Right. That's right. And our housing program, Joe, is also a program that we encourage people to keep calling, as we were mentioning earlier. We do pay emergency rents for people who are behind. The eviction moratorium is ending on June 30th. We are extremely concerned about that. The numbers of people that we are seeing for help are very high. We're asking the community's patience with us because it takes a while to get back to folks. Frankly, we're a little bit short-staffed, so we're hiring. Please check out our website. We're hiring and have quite a few jobs available in all of our programs. Do call us if you need housing help. We work really closely with Metro Housing in Boston and NeighborWorks Housing Solutions in Kingston. They have other rental assistance as the regional nonprofit housing agencies, and we combine that assistance with the assistance that we have, and it can really help people who might have a year's worth of arrearage because of the pandemic, and that is not unusual. Many folks are not ready to go back to work. They have multiple challenges going on in their lives, and even those who are just returning to work are facing significant rental balances that we are able to help with. So we encourage folks to call us for that.
Okay, great information. QCAP.org, I know, is the main website, and 479-8181 is the main phone number to connect to all different departments. It's interesting, Beth, and you say you have a worker shortage, because that's a problem throughout the industry right now, you know, from everything from restaurants to hotels to airports and car rental agencies.
Yeah. Right, right. It's we have a little bit of a mismatch right now between the potential workforce and the employers. Part of our work in our workforce development program is to help address that, but there's so much that needs to be done there. And we certainly encourage people to jump back into the workplace. I think maybe I'm hopeful that we will see more of that in the coming months, at least in the fall. It's a little tricky right now through the summer. People, may not be as inclined, but we hope so. And one last program that we'll be doing this summer that we want to encourage people to check our website for is our Quincy and Braintree Family Network program that we run. This is also called the Coordinated Family and Community Engagement. That's the state's name for it. Mm-hmm. But this is a great program that is for parents with young children. It's a family engagement program that helps children develop their literacy skills and helps parents work with their children to do that. We have been doing all remote activities all mm-hmm. year. And some great activities, actually, with the children's in collaboration with the Children's Museum and the Science Museum to do online activities. But this summer, we will be doing outdoor activities, little play groups, we call them, and story walks, which we did last summer, which was a way to get children outside with their parents doing I don't want to call it a scavenger hunt. That isn't exactly what it is, but, moving from one location to the next, reading a story to the children with visuals. So stay tuned to our website to get the next dates of those. They're not quite set yet, but they will be soon.
Okay, good to know. Something to look forward to. Kind of a traveling roadshow, if you will. Right. Treasure hunt. Let's call it a treasure hunt.
Yeah, how's that? Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Anna, anything else you'd like to add?
I think we've covered all the programs. I just want to say that, if people are looking for a way to really help your local community members in a real time of need, supporting QCAP programs, the food center, or, just in general, support for the programs is really appreciated and really goes a long way right now.
It's the best way to help your neighbor, right? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Bethann.
Well, I was just going to say, we really are so grateful to the incredible donors who gave to us this past year. Starting from the top in the city, Mayor Koch has been very focused on making sure that the nonprofit community was available to the residents who needed help. Certainly with us, he did that. We are so grateful, and Manatt Health Center, what you saw happen was just a fantastic partnership. I think Quincy is very unique that way. Working with my colleagues in other communities across the state, there are some other great examples of that, but there are some places where it just doesn't happen in that way. And we feel very fortunate to work here and to be providing services with so many generous residents who have given to us all year. It was just incredible last spring and early summer what we saw in terms of donations and the generosity.
It's really nice to hear. It's a big city, but it's small neighborhoods. Really, it always has been that way. Yeah. And I was just going to say, your dad must be incredibly proud. You're kind of following in his footsteps, really.
Yeah. I would say he's definitely having a proud dad moment. It's great. Yeah. I'm happy to be part of a Community Action family.
Are there any QCAP fundraisers, in-person events or online events that are being planned this year?
We're still stepping back from the in-person events and waiting. But you can donate through our website. We have a link, a button to click. We are actively taking donations and have been, and will continue to do that. And mostly we're focusing on just trying to get the word out about the services and make sure that anyone who needs help is coming and getting it, and that they know we're here and there's plenty of folks to help them. But yeah. We'll be back someday with the in-person, you know, probably not this fall. We often are in heavy planning for our Best Chef event in the fall, but maybe next year.
Next year, yeah. And then I would say follow us on Facebook for kind of the most up-to-date info when we have these vaccine clinics. That's where, you know, I'll be able to post things sort of at the sort of up-to-date moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to really keep the content on there, you know, current and compelling. So I definitely invite people to follow us. So if you search Quincy Community Action Programs on Facebook, you'll find us.
Okay, great. And hopefully we've done our little part here at QATV to help you get the word out to the community. Please feel free to reach out to us anytime. We're happy to help.
Great. Thank you so much, Joe.
We really appreciate that. You're a great resource for the community. We really appreciate that.
Thank you very much. All right. Be well. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.